ask that you'll forgive us of our sins and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some more praise. Amen. Amen. I see Tiffany. Wave your hand, Tiffany. Tiffany had some health issues, and God has brought her back. So let's give God some praise. Amen. Amen. Sometimes God can bless us and answer our prayers, and we just keep it moving. But we would be wise to say, thank you, Jesus. Because, I mean, you know that when things turn out right, it doesn't have to go that way. And we need to thank God for his blessings. Amen. 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 I want to continue our discussion in the book of Galatians this morning, and I want to talk about spiritual climate control. Spiritual climate control. As we look at the world today, there are those who believe that spiritually and naturally, things will just automatically happen like they ought to. In other words, as we look on the global scale, that people believe that if we do nothing, that our environment will be okay. But there is this thing called global warming that suggests that if we do not reduce carbon emissions, then the heat of the earth will rise and it may threaten fish in the sea. It may cause wildfires. It may cause or threaten our very existence. And I'm really a conservative, you all, so I actually have been challenged with global warming because I want to say, can man actually impact the earth that God has made? But scientists suggest that we are impacting the earth. What I'm trying to say is that the climate in which we live makes a difference. Turn to your neighbor and say, the climate makes a difference. I grew up in the north, but my folk are from deep south, Texas and Arkansas. I remember being in California when I was stationed. I was with another attorney, and she said, boy, where you? I don't know if she said, boy, that would be a problem. But she said, where are you from? And I said, Michigan. She said, well, where are your parents from? Because she picked up a twang in my voice that was more south than north. And when I remember growing up or going to my grandmother's house in Texas, I remember having a big garden in the back where she had the weed and water. And guess what? When she had the weed and water, I had the weed and water. But agriculture is a big thing in the South. They understand that the climate and the conditions, not only of the sun, but the soil, had to be right to grow the right kind of stuff. So needless to say, my mom, who was, the daughter of my grandma, when she came to Michigan, she too bought a plot of land two houses down from our house, and we had to water it and weed it and help things grow. And most of the time, things grew just fine. Corn and peas, I knew how to shell peas and pluck the ends of the greens. And yeah, y'all didn't think I was a Southern boy, but I had some Southern stuff in me. But I remember you used to love a watermelon. I remember when I grew up, and I don't know why it doesn't happen anymore, that we didn't go to the grocery store for our watermelons. We waited for this truck to come around the neighborhood. Anybody remember that? Trucks used to come through the neighborhood full of watermelons. I don't know if they were telling the truth. They say they came from the South. And I learned, and this works, y'all, I learned how to tell whether a watermelon was sweet or not. There you go, Sister Chapman. You would pluck it. And if it was hollow, I don't know why, most of the time it was sweet. I remember these trucks, and we would buy them, I don't know, for a dollar. They were cheap. But I guess my mother, growing from the South, she decided to grow watermelons in the North. We grew most things well, but I never remember a watermelon turning out okay. There was some pitiful looking watermelon. They were small. They were sour. It looked like they were about this big, and most of it was soil has to be 7 degrees before you even plant the watermelon. So we really didn't have 3-4 months of summer, not when it was hot enough to put. Anybody grew watermelons in the North that turned out right? I don't know anybody. Because the climate, this is what I'm trying to get y'all to see. The climate must be right. Turn to your neighbor and say, the climate must be right. Collard greens were fine. And collard greens, you guys know, y'all come from the South, most of y'all. Collard greens, you know, it needs a good frost. Y'all know that? Keisha, you don't know nothing about that. Because the good frost in the fall makes the collard greens tender. So their climate is different. You can grow things in the South that doesn't grow so much in the North. And there are places I was reading in the Philippines that can't grow cranberries because their roots are shallow and it's too hot and humid. And so cranberries that don't grow well in the Philippines. Well, you know, we get 90% of our orange juice from Florida. The second place is California because the climate is right. What am I talking about this morning? When you look at Galatians, and we need to understand where I'm going. So those who haven't been here the whole series, you got to understand that Paul is talking to the Galatians from chapter 1. He says that the Judaizers, Jews that had been converted to Christianity, they were starting to preach a false doctrine. They were preaching, as Paul says in Galatians 1 and 6, a different gospel. What was different? They started to say that you can earn the approval of God through works. So in other words, that you can accept Jesus, that's all right, but you need to be circumcised and convert to Judaism. In other words, that you can earn God's approval in the flesh. And so Paul spent the last four chapters, saying that no one is justified through the law. No one is justified in the flesh. That the only way you can be justified is by grace and through the faith in Jesus Christ. And so I need y'all to understand this climate thing because it hit me in chapter 5 when he starts talking about producing fruit. We've always looked at these fruit of the Spirit separate from the whole chapter or book of Galatians. But when you look at it, Paul is saying is that this spirit of the law, this spirit of the flesh, this spirit of self-production will never produce spiritual fruit. You're still not getting it. I wonder why we act like we should not act. I wonder why we still behave in the flesh. When you act ungodly, you are in a different climate. There is the region of the flesh, and there's the region of the spirit. When you are producing the works of the flesh, the climate of your soul is in your self-interest and the works of the flesh. You can't produce the works of the spirit in the climate of the world. I want y'all, you know, I've been processing when my feelings and thoughts are not right. And I've been saying to myself, what climate am I in? You know, not my car. My car is a 2006. But in new cars, you can sit on the left side and have it hot, and you can sit on the right side and have it cool, because they have different climates. You're in the same car, but depending on what side you on, because you know, in every even marriage, you realize that I like it cool at night. Jackie want to turn up the heat. Of course, whoever filled up the oil tank, that changes too. Amen. I realized when she had to pay the oil, turn the heat down. I'm sorry. Somebody's saying amen about that, because that's true. If it's your bill, turn the lights out. If it's their bill, you can light it up all night long. We learned that with our kids too, right? Yeah. My daughter, this ain't in my notes, but my daughter started working, right? And now, instead of going to fast food, guess what? Daddy, what's at home to eat? You know, I don't know how that got there, Kim. Pray for me. I'm concerned. I'm concerned that Christians are in the wrong climate zone. And we've got to understand that you can't produce watermelons in the north very well. Because the climate is not right. You can't produce the amount of oranges that taste as sweet as Florida in Michigan because the climate is not right. We as Christians, we've got to understand that your fleshly efforts will not produce fruit of the spirit, but works of the flesh. Somebody need to understand this so you can begin to analyze you when you are lusting, when you are acting out of godly character. You need to be saying, what region is that coming from? Let's read the text, and maybe you'll see what I'm saying. In Galatians 5:16, please stand to your feet. I'm going to start from Galatians 5:16. In the NIV, it reads as follows. So I say, walk by the Spirit. That's the region that we need to walk in and live in. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It's in another region, spiritually. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I'm going to come back to that. When you are in the region of the flesh, it's not fruit, but it's works, and NIV, it's acts of the flesh. Look at verse 19. The acts of the flesh, that's the region of the world, sin, and flesh, are obvious. This is what you're going to produce. Sexual immorality. Anybody hooked on pornography here today? You in the region of the flesh. Impurity and debauchery. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Hatred. Anybody flying off? Causing division, discord. Jealousy. Be happy with what God has given you. Don't be mad at somebody else getting a different kind of blessing. Fits of rage. Some of y'all leave church and fuss out everybody in your path. Selfish ambition. Just all about yourself. Dissensions. Factions. And envy, drunkenness. It's not moderation. You leaving this world. You drinking until you just pass out. Orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this is a horrible warning, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, these are the works of the flesh. When your climate is worldly, this will be your works. So I want you from this day forward, when you act ungodly, realize where you're coming from. You're in a different region than God wants you to be. You're not in a spiritual region where you can produce godly stuff. You'll never do it in the flesh. Somebody say you can't do it in the flesh. And so this whole conversation about the law and trying to meet the requirements of the law, it's about pride that I can earn God's favor. It's about self, that I'm good enough to be in the kingdom. And when you have that spirit, your region that you're existing in can only produce what I just listed in some form or fashion. But, somebody say but. But when you in a spiritual region, and I'm going to talk about what cultivates that region, you can produce fruit that's singular, that the scholar says all these other things are not various fruits. We've been saying fruits of the Spirit, but it says fruit of the Spirit. And then the scholars call these graces of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That's our relationship, the scholars believe, to God. That when we're in relation to God, God is love. God gives you peace. God gives you joy. Yes. And then this third category, this first trio, they call it, is our relationship to God. The second trio is our relationship to the other. Forbearance, kindness, and goodness. It helps us relate to our brothers and sisters. We need a whole lot of forbearance because folks are difficult. Yeah. We need kindness because it's hard sometimes to get along. We need goodness when things get rough. And then these last trio is about ourselves, about growth in the Christian life. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You may want something, but God is saying it's not good for you. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ, somebody say, I belong to Christ. Those who belong to Christ, Jesus has crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. You may be seated. My brothers and sisters, the question that I have for you this morning is, what climate zone are you living in? And I know which climate zone you're living in based on what you're producing. And in order to stay in the right climate zone to produce the fruit that God wants us to produce, there are three things that I think Paul is trying to teach us in Galatians 5. First thing, if you're going to cultivate the spiritual climate zone that will create the fruit and the graces of God, the Spirit, the first thing you need to do is acknowledge your dependence on Jesus, not only for salvation, but for living a transformative life that produces kingdom fruit. You need to acknowledge your dependence on God. Turn to your name and say, I can't do it without you, Jesus. The whole argument of the law is that we can meet the demands of the law by our own effort. We need to, if we're going to live in this spiritual climate zone to produce kingdom fruit, we need to acknowledge that we simply can't do it without God. Galatians 5:4 says, to live in this other fleshly zone is to fall away from Christ. Galatians 5:4 says, you are trying to be justified by the law. Who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated for Christ. You have fallen away from grace. The moment you begin to think you can love like God wants you to love, you can forgive like God wants you to forgive, you can even come close to living this Christian life, you've fallen away from grace. I've not met one person, and I don't want to offend anybody, but nobody, including when I look in the mirror, that comes close in the flesh to living the life God wants us to live. Not one. Somebody say, no, not one. We need to understand if we're going to have the climate that God wants us to produce godly fruit, we need to acknowledge our total dependence on Jesus Christ. John 15, turn to that, Janet and Doreen. John 15, 1 and 5 puts it this way. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me. Somebody say, remain in him. As I also remain in you, no branch, underline that in your Bible, can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I, Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Underline this in your Bible, you law-abiding, you self-centered, self-effort. Apart from me, you can do nothing. When we try to live in the flesh, it's like cutting off our arm and severing ourselves from God. What happens if a branch severs itself from the vine? It withers and dies. Whenever you are trying to even do the right thing, if you're not connected to Jesus, you're doing it for the wrong reason. And so if we're going to live in this kind of climate that allows us to produce the fruit that God wants us to produce, we need to understand that we have to live in total dependence on Jesus. We need to understand any other mindset is a falling away from grace. Christians wouldn't act like they act if they understood, but for the grace of God. You would be the drunk. But for the grace of God, you would be the crackhead. But for the grace of God, you may be in prison. But for the grace of God. If we had that kind of humility, then we would see a different kind of Christian character than we're seeing. I want us to understand this. If you're going to cultivate the right kind of climate in order to produce love and joy and peace, and the other graces of the fruit of the Spirit, you need to understand your total dependence on Jesus Christ. Secondly, if you're going to cultivate the right kind of climate and soil, you need to actively put on Christ by studying his life and death and resurrection, and have a made up mind to obey. Yes, spiritually to be connected. That means to acknowledge the indwelling power of his Holy Spirit. But then the Holy Spirit doesn't make you quit speeding. The Holy Spirit don't pull your foot off the gas pedal. The Holy Spirit won't turn off your pornography. The Holy Spirit won't cover your mouth when you're getting ready to lie. We have to make up our mind to obey. In Galatians 5:16, we find Paul saying, let's go to Galatians 5 and 5:7 first. Galatians 5:7 says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? If we're going to live in this spiritual realm that produces fruit, we've got to have a made up mind that we're going to obey the truth. I don't know how many times Satan has tried to take me a different way. You know what? The only thing that stopped me is saying that's not the truth of God. You've got to want to do right before God will give you the strength to do right. Tell somebody, I want to obey the truth. Yeah, turn to somebody and really mean it this time. Say, I really want to obey the truth. This Christian life is impossible to live in the flesh. Y'all better hear me this morning. We got a whole bunch of Christians who are living their lives and not producing the kind of fruit that is possible because they're living in the wrong region. They're living in a fleshly region, and I don't care how much you want to do right. If it was that easy, Jesus didn't have to come and die. We cannot do right without God. So if you want to produce fruit, the right climate needs an understanding that we have to have total dependence on Jesus Christ. He is divine. We are the branches. We need to acknowledge that we have to put on Christ. That means studying his life, death, and resurrection. And before a situation happens, you got to say, I'm going to obey. Amen. I'm going to obey God. And then lastly, if we really want to produce this fruit that is possible, we need to be intentional about loving our neighbor as ourselves. Turn to Galatians 5:14, verse 14. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. 15 says, if you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Why is it that God holds such in high regard, love God with all your mind, heart, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself? It seems like we want to obey everything else and believe that this command to love your neighbor is an afterthought when God has it front and center. I think that the reason why love fulfills the law is because God is love. And God knows, like is going on in the church today, we can say anything. But it takes some real spiritual strength to love your neighbor, not like somebody else. When you think about a homeless person, would you like, if that was you, to be treated like you treating them? Now I'm thinking about myself. If I was really hungry, I don't know if my dollar would make me, if I would give myself more than a dollar, Sheila. Think about this. When you love your neighbor by yourself, when you look at a homeless person, you give them a quarter. Is that what you want? If somebody's hurting and they ask you to pray for them, if you were in that same position, would you like somebody praying for you like you praying for them? Come on, somebody. If I was in another country being persecuted and I was trying to get to America to find some kind of respite, would I want folks thinking of me like I'm thinking of them? If I did something wrong when I was young and I happened to be in jail, I sure hope somebody's thinking about me and trying to help me. We talk a lot about loving our neighbors like ourselves, but the truth be told, we don't even come close. Because we love ourselves. I don't know about you, But I cannot love my neighbor like myself without the Spirit of God in full control. So God has this high standard that we just gloss over. You know why we gloss over it? Because we know at our heart we can't do it in the flesh. So I believe the church is giving up. He don't really mean love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, Lord have mercy, because we not even coming close. We're not taking care of the poor like it was us. We're not even loving the person next to us in this church like we love ourselves. And the only hope, you know what we growing? Pitiful little watermelons, amen. What we producing is not sweet. It's not in the right soil. Not growing in the right climate. It has no chance of really developing into something God is doing. I need somebody to hear me this morning. I'm bothered by how complacent we have become with what we call is the Christian life. I'm bothered because most of us are living in a fleshly region of self-centeredness. And that's why the church is not turning the world upside down. You know, they read letters of the Romans when they were talking about the Christians, and they were blown away, not by them coming to church and worshiping, not by them claiming God was Lord. They were blown away that they were discarding Roman children and other children, and the Christians were not just saving their own. They were going to get the Greeks' child out the rubbish. They were going to get the Romans' child out the pile when they were discarded. And they said in their letters, they were treating our children like it was their own. Where in your life are you really loving somebody that's not your own child? I'm convicted just like you, but I realize as I begin to process this, as God began to work on this sermon, I said, God, that's not the right climate I'm in right now. My thoughts let me know that I'm in a fleshly place. So as we contemplate the fruit of the Spirit, not in isolation to Paul's overall argument in Galatians, and that is that the law, any attempt to meet the standards of the law, requires perfect love, because perfect love fulfills the law, and none of us can ever execute in the flesh perfect love. Therefore, the fruit of the Spirit, in that spirit of self-centeredness and self-effort, can never be produced. And so, come on, Sigmund, as we think about the fruit of the Spirit, we must acknowledge our total dependence on Jesus. We must actively put on Christ and have a mind to obey. And then we have to be intentional about loving our neighbor as ourselves. And anytime we look at our neighbors and think less of them, we say, Lord, move me to another climate. I'm not seeing their need like I see my own. I'm not trying to meet their needs like I would meet my own. I can't do this. That's all God wants us to do, is acknowledge we can't do this without him. Turn to your neighbor and say, without him, we are nothing. And so as we conclude today, I want to sing hymn number 105, that old rugged cross. That ought to humble you this morning. That on that old rugged cross, God demonstrated perfect love. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and blessed for a world of lost sinners was slain. As we stand to our feet, let's give God some praise and let's just give ourselves to that old rugged cross. Hymn number 105.
Far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame.
Will you just focus on what he's done for you?
And I love that old where the dearest and blessed for a world of lost sinners was slain.
If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ,
so I cherish the old rugged at last I lay down.
Will you trust him today? Will you trust him?
I will cling to the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for.
That old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear
it on Calvary.
If you don't know Jesus Christ, will you come?
So I check.
Your life will never be the same. He bore that Christ for you, that cross for you and me. You can't get it right on your own. No matter how hard you try. Only Christ has overcome the flesh and temptation.
I will cling to the old cross.
Only he was tempted, yet without sin.
And exchange it someday.
Will you accept him today? Will you accept him? This is our last appeal. Verse number 3.
In the open blood, rugged cross, stained with blood, so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For it was on the cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me.
That old rugged cross.
So I'll cherish rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down.
for a moment. None came, yet there is still room. Come to the altar before we sing verse number 4.